Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. How is everybody doing? Man, we are so excited because you guys are here together in the same room.
It's
same
us.
Time. It's been a while.
It's been a while since we've been on the podcast together, but it's also been a while since I've been on the podcast.
You've been gone, Pastor Dave.
I've been out, and part of the reason is because we've been preaching together.
Mm-hmm. A lot of preaching.
It's been fun, though.
Yeah. It has been fun.
I really enjoy preaching with you.
I want to encourage everybody to get the series on the Jabez Prayer, which really was the inspiration to our vision for this year.
Yep.
So I'm glad that you guys got to teach that together and unpack that for us.
The series is called A Life of Increase.
A Life of Increase.
And it was just like a touch.
Yeah.
You didn't even touch everything.
Yeah,
and part of that is in the decorations, even in the platform, you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see it at Easter, on the Easter weekend. At the time this recording is released, it'll be Good Friday. So happy Good Friday, everybody.
Good Friday.
And there is a story to tell with that, too. But the decorations, the flowers that you're seeing, that sort of a thing, that came out of vision from 10 years ago. I think we've said this in different services.
Yeah.
So some may have heard it.
Yeah.
Some may not. But Pastor Paul had a friend that he knew from the Dominican Republic who was a missionary,
mm-hmm.
and he invited him to come and speak in the Roca. And so while he was in the hotel, he just got a vision from God about the Rock and about us. And so he came and he was so humble about it. He said, "Hey, I have a word for you guys. I wrote it down. Can I read it to you?" And we were like, "Yeah, sure." And so we recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still have the recording, but he said, "You know, God just showed me this desert area. It was very dry, but then there was a plant that was flowering and flourishing there in the desert. And it dug its roots down deep. It struck water, and then flowers started coming up around it." And he says, "Those represent churches, businesses, and education centers." And he goes, "That was it." You know, and it was very unassuming. Yeah. It wasn't like, "Thus saith the Lord," you know, or any of that kind of stuff. There was no timeline on it.
We were new to the job.
Yeah, we were.
It was like weeks in.
Yeah, fresh in. And so over the years, I mean, different people, Marcos Witt had that same vision while he was in our pulpit started talking about, "I see the desert and flowers and that sort of a thing." And I remember our daughter was worshiping the Lord one time. She had her hands on the carpet and she didn't know. I mean, I guess we never shared with her, but she said, "Dad, I just got this vision of flowers in the desert," you know, and it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Our CFO, Adam, he got that same picture. And I mean, over the years.
It was the water that was springing up.
Yeah.
Out of the ground and creating rivers from the places it was breaking forth.
I had a mentor, actually Dr. Rich Hall's son, John, who was my mentor in high school. Just a great guy, a spirit-filled guy, very prophetic. We were headed out to a conference and he says, "Hey, God gave me a vision and I need to share it with you guys." And we said, "Well, we're leaving on a plane today." He goes, "I'll come up." And it was like, what? Because he lived in San Diego.
Yeah.
And so he drove 2 hours up before we got on our plane.
It was crazy.
And he shared with us, again, we recorded it. I've got the recording on my phone. But he says, "You know," he says, "I saw you, Dan, you were praying, and you shot an arrow up into heaven. And around you came 8 large arrows." And he says, "At first I thought you were trapped, like you were in prison." He goes, "But then water started gushing out from the base of these arrows and going out into the desert around you, and life and flowers."
He said poppies were popping up along the edges of those rivers.
Was the growth. And then he said, you know, that expanded into cities and different areas. And so all of these visions have that shared look. And even it was funny because I was sitting in the sanctuary and I was looking at the carpet and the tile and all that. And we've renovated, we've done everything new, and so the tile used to be a certain look.
We just changed it.
It's out in the foyer behind the angel.
Mm-hmm.
You can still see that there in the statue of the angel that's in our foyer carrying the wounded warrior. And but the new tile, Pastor Jess picked it to match with the carpet and the look of the sanctuary and everything like that. And as I was looking at it, it's funny because the center one has almost looks like a compass. You know, it's got like the north, south, east, west, northeast, north, all that kind of stuff all the way around. But there's 8 points and they look like little arrowheads. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh.
I know. I never thought of it that way.
I'd never seen it. But as I was looking at it, it was almost like God was just opening my eyes to it, that here's these 8 arrows. And 8 is the number of new beginnings. We were new pastors, that sort of a thing. And, you know, so now here's these 8 arrowheads. Well, the 8 represents north, south, east, and west, every corner of the earth, right? And then the next one up, there's little circles and big circles. And they can either look like butterflies or they can look like little circles.
Well, they look like waves, actually.
Kind of like waves.
Because, and they're smaller on the top and bigger on the bottom.
And so that showed me like the water going near and far.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final tile on the top and bottom is flowers.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of cool how God, everything speaks, you know, and you didn't know. You didn't select those tiles to give that story or anything?
It was such a very hard process. Like,
you guys labored over that.
I don't think people understand how hard it was to figure all of that out. And we went to, like, we live in California. So it is, we have a million different types of shopping. But we were in San Diego. We were in Orange County, like, going to all the best tile shops, you know, trying to find the best Spanish tile there is. And then we bring them back together and we'd be like, no. I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds of tiles. I got so confused on what to do. That was just my final, like, I think that looks good. I can't look at these anymore. Yeah, yeah. I think we have the right colors. And we walked away from it and just said, we're doing it. And it was like a last minute, like, we have to make a decision. The tile guys are coming tomorrow. Right. We, like, this is it. And I think God just knew. But it wasn't until, like, the day before we were doing the tile.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, it was so easy. Everything we do is hard with God. Like, even when he gives us prophecy, even when he gives us maybe a glimpse of what he's going to do in the future, it's always going to take us on our part doing that and that hard work, you know. And so it was a fascinating time in
season. But it speaks, and that's the thing, is that we brought that into this Easter being the year of increase. And, you know, because flowers and life speak of increase, right? And water in a desert place will bring that increase. And there's some neat things that you can see. It's kind of funny. I was looking at a Toyota ad on a billboard the other day, and it has the same, like, flowers in the desert. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
You know, like.
I think the Lord is in a time of harvest. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that we are in a season of harvest, especially if we're believers.
Absolutely.
And we understand what is to come. And we know that what God is doing. If you just look around the earth right now, you see what God's doing.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating time and season to be alive. And I think that Christmas this last year was very uniquely special, but going into Easter this year, very, very uniquely, like, special.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Getting great responses when I'm inviting people, like, young people are hungry.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to coffee. I won't say the name of the coffee shop, but, and they were like, I thought they were totally going to turn me down. I'm probably this old lady, like, inviting them to come to church. And they were like, dude, really? Yeah, like taking the card and, like, studying the service times. And I'm like, wow. Okay. Cool. And then the other girl that was there was like, man, I have to work on Easter. And I'm like, I didn't think for a second she would come, because she had blue hair. And she was like, you know, like, kind of looking at me like, you're a weirdo by even talking to me, you know. And I was just like, oh gosh, it's so intimidating. But we have to just get out there and tell people the good news, because I believe they're waiting to sprout, and they cannot ever grow, ever turn into the potential that God needs them to be until they get the word, which is the water of life in their life. And that is going to spring forth new life for these young people. Mm-hmm. God has a plan for their lives. God has a purpose in their lives. But I don't see that happening if we don't get out there and invite somebody to.
Well, I want to talk about Easter, but I also want to talk about what you said, you know, because you shared some vision and some prophecy that you guys got, and some of that is a personal prophecy, but some of it is also for the house. What is an appropriate response for members of our church or any believers when they hear or join and partner with the word, with some vision? How do people get behind that? In other words, how do I own that? Right? We're sharing it. And it kind of puts faith and put some wind in the sails to it. But what would be an appropriate response?
I think with any prophecy, you test it, you look for it in the word. And honestly, I think too, when God continues to bring things up again and again, you realize, and especially frequency, you realize the more frequent you see it, the more close you are to getting to it, you know?
Right.
And I think that's where, with certain things like this, to store these things in our hearts, to treasure them, that God loves us enough to take that time to, you know, speak to us. I think it was Pastor Teresa Sunday night had a brilliant message.
Amazing. Go back and get it.
Deep, my goodness. And she was talking about how prophecies, when they're spoken, they give us something stable to stand on. And I think that's where, if we have our faith out there for churches and businesses and education centers, which, you know, when you take a look at especially water in the Bible, there's several implications. You know, rivers oftentimes speak of the Spirit. They're the river of living water that will come, right? And but waters also speak to channels. They speak to inroads. They were you know, highways, that sort of a thing. You know, the seas often spoke of the nations. You know, you've got the crystal sea in heaven and the nations before God, that sort of a thing. And so there is a definite connection when you think about that. And so the people of God getting into the community, you know, how can we put some legs to our faith if we're going to believe God for this vision to come to pass? We need to pray. Mm-hmm. We need to go to the four corners of the earth, mm-hmm. you know, we need to go to the four corners of the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
We need to reach out. We need to bring that life-giving water yeah. that we've been given, the Spirit of God, to yeah. others, you know, yeah. and to preach the good news. That's why we constantly are telling our church, you're full-time ministers.
Yeah.
Let the yeah. Spirit flow out of you, yeah. you know. It's funny because we were talking about inviting people. I was at a store. I was going in to get something, and I saw a guy outside. I knew. I mean, you just know when someone's yeah. going to hit you up. Yeah. And so I knew he was going to hit me up. And I thought, you know, because you almost have those little, like, video reels of yourself, like, juking them or, like, going around or, you know, like, oh, I'm not yeah. interested or whatever. But I just had this thought, like, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask him, where is he going to church on Easter? And so he talked to me about what he was there for. And it was so funny because, like, probably if anybody was watching the interaction, they would have been like, like, why did that guy just yeah, come out of yeah. left field with that? But it was like he was talking about his thing. And then I'm like, hey, where are you going to church at Easter? And I could tell he was like, what? You know? But that opened the door. And I mean, you know, people, it's funny, they share and what comes out of them. You can tell the issues that are on their heart, whether it's religion, whether it's a certain stance, mm-hmm. whether it's political or social. And so as I was interacting with this guy, like, it came out. Yeah. And so I was able to just say, hey, that doesn't matter. You know, what matters is a real relationship with God, and that's why.
Yeah.
You know, and eventually I revealed that I was a senior pastor, and he's like, oh, man, you know. So, but what's funny is I told him, I said, hey, I got to go because I'm on a time frame. We're supposed to be going to lunch with some friends, and so I need to go, but it's great. I hope that you come to the Rock at Easter.
Yeah.
I went inside, and when I came out, he was, like, waiting.
Wow.
Like, hey, yeah. you know, tell me, was that always on your heart to do that?
Wow.
And I mean, just like,
yeah.
pull it. And I said, you know, I shared some things and even shared, it's funny because the things we fill up on, and I think a lot of times people overlook these things, the things that we fill up on daily, when you get into your word in the morning, when you get into your word in the evening, when you pray, yeah, those things, yeah, they're for you. Yes, they're for God. Your worship is for God, that sort of thing. But also, there's there's something stored up for others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was sharing what God ministered to me that morning. And I was talking to him about Hosea, the prophet, and how God told him to marry a prostitute. Yeah. And you could see his eyes getting like, that's in the Bible, yeah. you know? But I was able to share, yeah, and the prophet had to go and purchase her like he would a prostitute, yeah. but to come home mm-hmm. and to be there because God was showing, hey, this is how much I love you. This is how much I love Israel, but also now how much I love people. Mm-hmm. How I'm willing, even though you turn your back on me, even though you're out there committing your sins,
yeah.
I still bought you with the blood of Jesus
yeah.
And still want to have you as my own. And so I just shared, that's how much God loves us, you know?
What
and I was
Easter
like,
Easter story.
Yeah, I tell you.
I mean, honestly.
That's another one, yeah. But what was crazy was, as I was leaving, I said, I really hope to see you at the Rock at Easter. Please, if you come and see me. He goes, if I come to church at Easter, I'm coming to see you.
That's cool.
And it was just like, not for the Easter, not for the message, yeah. not for the product,
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's attractive to people is when someone loves them, mm-hmm. when someone reaches out, when someone has a heart.
Yeah.
You know, and so for our members, like we were saying, how can they get involved in that? Well, let's pray. Yeah. Let's believe God. Let's get our faith out there. Let's find scriptures that speak yeah. to those things. You know, just look up rivers in the desert.
Well, because that's what I'm saying. Like, to own it is where I'm
getting. Yeah, kind of, yeah. Like,
take that vision and not just for Dan and Jess. It's
yeah.
This is
this
ours.
Is your house, is your yeah. covering. Let's run with that vision.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you're saying, someone gets it like, well, I always wanted to get an education. Maybe I do need to go get my PhD
right.
so hey. I can, or whatever right. it might be. People are going to get those gifts and callings
right.
for those things, and they're going to partner in faith with a vision about what that looks like
mm-hmm.
because they're part of the, and I want to be under that covering.
Absolutely.
So I think that's amazing.
Yeah. yeah.
But you guys are talking about inviting, and here we are talking about Easter. I did want to change our subject over to Easter because this year, like every year, Easter is not unique because Easter is every year,
mm-hmm.
but every year there's a clear vision. And earlier you shared with our staff, you sent out an email to the staff about a burden that you got on your heart specifically for this Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted you to share that. And because it was a unique story that we're getting.
Yeah.
But how does that look like for our Easter, and how can we chart, you know, use that to fuel our invites this
yeah.
season? Again, because you're listening to this on Good Friday, there's still time to invite people
yeah.
and get people into the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of Good Friday, that just sparked my memory. We started and said there's a story with that, just for the people that are like, hey, when's Pastor Dan going to tell that story? Yeah. And who would upset if we never got there? I was in Trader Joe's, and there was a brother that worked there that I knew for a long time. In fact, she used to hate when I would go shopping there because I'd go to his line, and she'd be like, he takes forever.
Okay, so Dan is like chill, and I'm like, always have something, five things that next that I need to be doing. And so I'm like, if you're going with me, you better keep up
with
my pace.
If you see him, you wave high and you walk away.
We don't go in his line. Like,
we're not going
rules.
To his cashier, like, his cash register. So,
but let me, real quick, do you stay in line? Do you move lines? To
yeah.
One short,
I will move line if I'm in. I will move line.
And then I feel so unspiritual when he has these moments, and I'm like, I totally, I see how you couldn't use me because I'm so, like, doing my own thing.
No, okay, but I was in his line. I was in his line on Good Friday. And when I walked through the line, I said, hey, happy Good Friday. He goes, yeah, happy Good Friday. And then he all got real serious, and he goes, I had a friend told me. It wasn't good for Jesus. Yeah. And I was just like, whoa, that just got real.
It wasn't.
You know, and when we think about that, it's good for us, mm-hmm. right? Because we say, wow, the Lamb was slain for our mm-hmm. sins and that sort of thing. But Jesus had to go through the suffering.
Yeah.
Had to go through all that. And you spoke to this Easter, you know, the burden that's on my heart. And really, it was birthed in prayer. Mm-hmm. It was a burden that God put on my heart to start to pray for the prodigals to come home. You know, I wonder how many people were either raised in church mm-hmm. or who have the knowledge of God, maybe went to a Christian school growing up, or who just understand the story just from being in the United States of America, you know, where there's a wealth of information available to us at all times. You know, we've got movies, there's popular things. I mean, if you even look on Amazon right now, trending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
House of David, yeah. right? Yeah. Trending is the Chosen. Mm-hmm. I mean, these things are popular. And that's not bad or good in some senses, right? In some ways, you could make a case for either one. I rejoice personally that the gospel message is getting out there, that people are being creative and utilizing tools that reach people where they're at and spark an interest. And hopefully that pushes them to get into their Bible, mm-hmm. to read the real stories and to learn what's actually happened and what the implications are for their lives. Because I know that the people who are creating those things, their heart is that same heart. Like, hey, we're putting some creativity into this story, and it's not to make the Christians mad that we were, you know, using some license on side issues that are not really important. It's more about, hey, let's push them to Jesus. Yeah. Let's push them to the actual story and to the Bible. And so we rejoice with those things. But, you know, with that, with the wealth of information that's out there, people are still, you know, walking away from God, walking away from church, walking away from soundness. And that's where in my prayer time, you know, even this morning, I was on a prayer walk, and people who I've known over the years, people who we served alongside, mm-hmm. just started coming, and I started praying for them to come back to the house of God, come back to church, come back to that soundness. And when we were looking at Easter, I started to think about the prodigal, and I started to think about the story, you know, and how does that look when it comes to what we're, because like you said, prodigal son, Easter, mm-hmm. where are we at here, you know? But in every parable, it's interesting that you can find aspects of the kingdom of God mm-hmm. and the greater story, you know, even in like the dragnet, right? Here they cast a net, it brings mm-hmm. in some of all kinds, and then they sort them mm-hmm. at the end. Literally, that speaks to clean and unclean. It speaks to those that are
sheep and goats.
Yeah, sheep mm-hmm. and goats, that's what it speaks to the end of the age. The angels will come and they'll separate them. Right? And the Messiah will be the one who either says, away from me, you workers in iniquity, or well done, enter into the joy of the Lord, right? So all of these things have bigger stories within the story. It's uh-huh. It may be a small piece that we can understand naturally, but the spiritual implications are huge. And if you notice, in the story of the prodigal, there is a blood sacrifice.
Yep.
The father, yes, goes to the son. Yes, the father embraces him. Yes, the father puts the robe on him and puts the ring on his finger, puts sandals on his feet, and all those things. We'll unpack all this stuff at Easter. I mean, it's all in here. It's going to just come out at Easter. You know what I mean? I can't wait for this weekend. But if you notice, they kill the fatted calf. Mm-hmm. There was a lamb that was prepared mm-hmm. for that day. Mm-hmm. It was decided. We're going to have something significant take place. Yeah. And what does the father say to the older son, who remember, he went to the older son too.
Yeah.
Right? Not just the prodigal, not just the one that was out there in the world living, that that lived like his father was dead, because that's what give me my inheritance means, is that you're dead to me, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people, yes, that are lost and that are living like God is not around. He's not alive. Yeah. He's not real, right? That's a lot of the world. The father also goes to the religious that are outside. Mm-hmm. To those that are having a pity party, because
that's good. So good.
Why are you giving grace to him? You know, father goes to, and then he says this, he says, shouldn't we have killed the fatted calf? My son who is dead is now alive. Mm-hmm. That, I mean,
that's the resurrection.
Easter story right there, right? His resurrection is our resurrection.
That's good.
You know what I mean? When we give our hearts and lives to Jesus, we are in Christ.
Yeah.
We were crucified with Christ. We were buried with him through baptism, and we're raised again by the Spirit of God. Right. That is the Easter story right there in the story of the prodigal. And if you expand your thinking to how God knits us together in our mother's womb, how Adam was the son of God, right? It talks about he had no father or mother. God's the one who created Adam. And in doing so, all of humanity, we're all sons of God.
Yep.
And whether you're religious or not religious, whether you were ever in church or not ever in church, you, if you're away from God, are a prodigal. And God is running to you with open arms. He sees you afar off.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, with this Easter, really the heartbeat is. And that's why we pushed inviting so much. That's why these rivers and this life coming out of these desert places. It's really a passion and a burden on us, more than just hosting an Easter service, you know?
That's right.
I think it's the cry of God's heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. God is looking for the lost sons and daughters.
Yeah.
He's looking for those that are out there wandering, that are desiring to eat pig pods.
Yeah.
What is that? An unclean animal that should not have been touched, should not have been, not by the Jews.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Those were unclean things. And you're wanting to eat what the unclean eats. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're so spiritually
dry.
Destitute. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Just gone.
Yeah.
That you want what the unclean is eating. And wanting to fill your belly just to have some sort of relief.
Yeah. But how many believers? Yeah. There's so many carnal Christians.
Yeah.
So many.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, my dad has said this. We've experienced it as senior pastors. How many are really saved sitting in our congregation? You know, I mean, we're having large salvation calls already.
Yeah.
We had over 90 people baptized last week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, God is doing something.
He's already doing the work. It's already happening. And this is just the foretaste of what we're going to see this Easter. But also, my prayer has been not just Easter. God, I want this to go into the year. You know? Mm-hmm. That's why I believe last year with the emphasis on discipleship was so important, because God is bringing these people. I mean, the altar calls the past 2 weekends, especially 2 weeks ago. My goodness. You know, second service was just a sweeping move of God. And so now, who's taking care of the babies,
mm-hmm.
right?
What do they do now?
Who's discipling them? Who's loving them?
Yeah.
Who's fathering them? This is what's so important, a father to the fatherless, right?
And this is what our church needs to get a hold of.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because we can go to church, fill up on the incredible messages that we hear, whether it's Easter or just a regular Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whatever. And what are we doing with it, though? Like, how are we taking that and putting that into someone else's life, not just for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's always a benefit of the word for us. But then how can I take that and then put it into someone else's life? How can I give of myself for the betterment of someone else, as Christ did for me?
Yeah.
And I think that's something I would challenge the church. And we're going to go into a new series after this. And I've really been pondering it. Like, as much as he's been on the Easter thing, this thing has been brewing in me for a while. And I'm having a lot of conversations with people and seeing how God is so on point, and he's so real, and he's so purposeful in his relationship with us personally, that God wants us to duplicate that in our relationships with others. And we have to care, though. And that, I think that is what we've been saying and seeing in our world, is that their hearts have grown cold, that they're lovers of themselves, that we, the church, cannot allow ourselves to get there.
Yeah.
We cannot allow ourselves to be offended with each other all the time, or, You know, I mean, this cancel culture thing has been so opposing to the word of God. Mm-hmm. It's so opposite of what God says. He says, give him your coat.
Yeah.
Turn your cheek.
Yeah.
You know?
Go the extra mile.
Yeah, go the extra mile. I mean, so we are really, the word is challenging us, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I pray that as Christians, we work harder at being better and more like Christ after Easter.
Yeah.
That's my prayer for the body, because it's like, if we can get a hold of that, then we are going to be walking disciples everywhere we go, at the Target or at Trader Joe's, or, you know, wherever you find your kid's school teacher. Or I don't know where you find yourself, but you're that person there. You're on assignment. Like, your life is not your own.
Yeah.
You are not just here to be the good dad or try and be, you know, a good parent. No, you're here on purpose to be the dad that maybe people haven't had, the father to the fatherless. Maybe there's somebody you can bring into your world and you can mentor and you can love on. You know, like, there's just so many aspects and depths of who Christ is. And on that cross, he made a way for us to be a part of that. And I think that is the beauty of the prodigal son, is that here was this father opening his arms up. And you know, I mean, when he's on that cross, I think about some of his last words. I've been going through this devotional talking about it. It's rocking me every day. And it's talking about just like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, he didn't have to say that.
Yeah.
They had treated him horrible.
Wow. Yeah.
And yet he was making a way. He says to the guy next to him, today you will enter paradise with me. I mean, what a grace. What a mercy.
Yeah.
I would be undeserving. He was undeserving. But yet God was like, no, come. That is his heart. That's his heart.
Yeah.
He gave everything for us. He didn't even have too much ministry. We were talking about this the other day. He was here for 30 years. 3 years of ministry. And then he's like, okay, I've shown you enough on how to do this.
Yep.
I'm going to now go be God.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit so you can now do what you need to do. And I must go so that a greater one will come. I mean, the power of what God is doing in and through us as the church that gets to live with the Holy Spirit, know the stories, know the prophecies, see what is happening in our world. I'm excited for such a time as this, guys.
I get this thought of, you know, the idea of too lost. Mm-hmm. And I think people can kind of use that excuse. I know it's part of the altar call, like, oh, you feel like, oh, I'm going to wait till I deserve it. But, you know, when I think about the prodigal, the reason why it's such a beautiful story, too, is because, you know, when we think about, you said it earlier, like, treat you as dead, I want my inheritance now. In our current culture, it doesn't seem far-fetched, because there are things, people like are going no contact with their parents.
Yeah.
They're very like, common. You know, it's kind of, they're leaving. So it's just like, oh yeah, I'll take my inheritance and I'll go. Correct me if I'm wrong. In the cultural time, this statement to just say, basically, you are dead to me, give me what's mine now, I am forever leaving. It's not that we're going no contact. You like, it was a different, carried a different weight.
It's a slap in the face.
And so it gives this idea like, oh yeah, this guy, that son was too lost, because he had, not only had he chose not to, but then he spits on his dad on the way out.
Yeah. And he felt it too.
Right.
He felt it. In the story, remember, he says, I'm not worthy to be called your son.
Right. Yeah.
He had robbed his own.
He knew what he did.
Right.
Yeah.
And he knew how far he was gone.
Yeah. And I just think.
And his brother knew too, because he said he's wasted your wealth on prostitutes and prodigal living.
Yeah.
Everybody knew.
And I just think all the way now, fast forward to our time today, that there are people that we're believing for that qualify for that too lost.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That qualify for that. They've gone too far. Like you said, they grew up in church and they tasted and seen, and yet they've left.
Right.
And how many people carry the weight of that and feel like, I can't step foot in that church. Mm-hmm. But yet, I think it's a beautiful example in this picture.
Yeah.
As we kind of wrap up, I wanted to just hear any closing thoughts on not just what we can expect on, oh, the beautiful day, but how can we prepare our heart's posture to receive all that God's going to do and what he wants to do in our lives and for those who we're believing for?
Yeah. I would, you know, I'm always challenging. I'm like the fasting queen, but like, I think I've fasted since January.
Is it bad that Dancing Queen just went through my mind with ABBA, you know, fasting queen?
But it really does bring you into a place of just total submission into the tenderness of what the Holy Spirit is wanting to show you.
Yeah.
I think I'm on day like 45 or something like that right now.
Yeah, you did Lent wrong. Pastor Teresa told us you're supposed to take breaks on Sundays.
I love fasting. That way. Why would I take a break on Sunday? That's like the best day to like
fast. I actually enjoyed it because when I was eating cookies on Sundays, I was like, I am celebrating the resurrection. Yes. I mean, and it was sweet.
Yeah. It's
good,
extra sweet.
Good for you.
It was, yeah, it was, it was amazing.
And I'm not judging you for that. But I mean, everybody does it on their own
way. They do it. Yeah. To God, they.
And so I would encourage you, if you haven't been fasting, maybe like Good Friday, like try and take the day and not eat until like you have communion, or maybe even Easter, like don't eat all morning, go to services and then eat your Easter meal with your family, break that fast,
or
just take a tender moment of like, okay, Holy Spirit, I want to be tender to what you're doing today. I want to hear your voice like in a new way today. So I would say take that position of humility, because that's where the Holy Spirit can come and do some beautiful things. Also, I want you to think about this Easter as a cleansing. I just, that word has just been rolling in my spirit, man, since probably January. That there's a cleansing that comes with this resurrection, because we have to remember that every year we need to cleanse ourselves of ourselves. Like, there has been some days that have been rocking me lately that God will catch me off in the middle of a moment or in the middle of the night. Just the other night, he was spanking me about something. And I was like, dude, seriously, it's 3 a.m, you know? But this is when I have your attention. And it's like, okay, you know? And I'm okay with it because I'm asking for it. Because I'm like, Lord, cleanse me. Like, show me how to be more like you. And break my heart for what breaks yours. So pray those prayers that God wants us to pray, because I think we're going to see the world differently. I think we're also going to see the world in a righteous way. And that's been really a new eye-opening thing during this season for me, is that there are eyes of righteousness. And so you'll see things in a new way, in a new light. And I think God wants to do that in us this next year. I think he wants to bring the Christian from this level of like, yeah, I'm a Christian, to no, I am God's son and daughter.
So good.
I am more than enough. Like, but I also want you not to miss out and care enough about others to bring them in. Good. So it's going to be a good season.
Yeah. You know, I think that one of the things when I look at Easter and the additional church services and things that we put on, it's not just for overflow crowds.
Right.
It really is to connect us to God in a fresh way. And so for those that are considering, well, what do I do this Easter? Well, obviously, we've already talked about prayer and fasting. I would encourage you get a Bible reading plan and maybe read in the Gospels surrounding the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, you know, to just get the story in your heart as we come to it. You know, every Christmas, we sit down and read the Christmas stories with our kids. It's a great opportunity to teach your kids about the resurrection.
Absolutely.
Why is it important? Why is it important that Jesus went to the cross? What was his heart when he was saying, Father, forgive them? You know,
I miss not doing the egg. Yeah, the little egg things,
you know, last egg was empty because the tomb was empty. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, those are wonderful opportunities to teach your children about Christ, about God, about Easter, what this is really all about. Is it about candy and bunnies in spring, or is it about something much greater, right?
Yeah.
And so as parents, we're responsible. Don't let the church be the only ones teaching your kids about God. You need to be the primary ones teaching kids about God. And then the church is supplemental to that. So talk to your families, talk to others about it. And then here's the other thing is that when I mentioned services are not just for overflow, they're for, yes, to reach people, but also for the body to experience more. Think about how much God gave.
Yeah.
He came from heaven to earth. He disrobed himself of his glory, gave up the position in order to humble himself. And Philippians tells us, even to the point of death, the death on the cross, how much he gave to go to the cross.
Yeah.
Excruciating physical pain, mental agony, spiritual separation from God. He tasted death, right? The Father turned from him, couldn't even look at him on the cross, because he who knew no sin became sin at that moment on the cross, took the curse, right? How much did Jesus do for us, right? Went to hell, plundered the grave, right? Led captivity captive, went and ascended on high, spilled his blood on the mercy seat of heaven, and then came and proved himself, and then ascended, and now is seated at the right hand of God. Think about the great lengths that Christ went through us. Can we do extra this Easter? Can we go to a communion and a sunrise and one of the Easter experiences?
Yeah, because they're all different. Yeah.
And serve. Oh my gosh, right? You know, but I think that's where, you know, for those that serve, hey, sit one, serve one, you know.
Give of ourselves.
Give extra this Easter.
Yeah.
But why? Because Christ and everything. His blood are worthy.
Yeah.
That's the preparation and the mental thing, you know. Yeah. We've been preparing ourselves and trying to mentally prepare for what's ahead, and this week is a big week. I always tell people it's like our Super Bowl. You know what I mean? This is it. This is huge. But it's not the end.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is just the beginning. And that's where the mentality goes beyond Easter.
Yeah.
To say, hey, I'm not putting all this effort in just for one weekend.
Yeah, we don't just coast after this.
It was like our wedding afterwards. She goes, was that it? You know, like
already thinking about next
all
week.
That preparation for that. But now 25 years later,
It's
like, hey, we built a life together. And that's where I think as far as our church is concerned, we're putting a lot of effort in this weekend. Why? For the rest of the life of people that are coming, that God brings those prodigals that are coming home.
I think we've already been seeing it, so I'm excited.
Would you close out in prayer, or either with Pastor Dan, Pastor Jess? Yeah, awesome.
You want to start? I'll finish.
Sure. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful Good Friday, and Lord, we thank you and honor you for the sacrifice. I know that was such an incredible sacrifice for all of us. And so, Lord, we just honor you and thank you for that moment and your sacrifice for us. But, Lord, we ask for souls. We ask for wells of salvation this Easter, God. We ask for those that are lost and, God, those that would be too lost, as people would say. But, Lord, bring them home, Lord. I pray that they would come to know your goodness this weekend, Lord, and that they would know your blessing and your favor upon them, Lord. I thank you for your hand to be upon us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you would bless us this weekend, God, that you'd expand our territory this weekend, God. And Lord, we ask, God, that you would go before us with your favor, God, and your goodness, and Lord, that keep us from evil, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would cause us not to cause pain, but Lord, let us be lovers of people in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we thank you for that.
Thank you, Father. Lord, we're so grateful for everybody listening to this podcast, both now and in the future. And I pray your blessing upon their lives, God. Lord, as we look at the lengths and the heights, the depths that you went to for our salvation, God, may we just be a grateful people, but may we also be a people that respond in kind, Lord, with everything. God, you are worthy of it all. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, as people are listening to this, that they're stirred, God, lives laid down, 100% wholly committed to your cause, carrying this gospel forth to the nations, and as well, Lord God, planting ourselves in your house and flourishing in life. Thank you for what you've done, God, that we might live and be connected with you. Thank you for putting your coat on us, God, and your ring on our finger and your sandals on our feet, that we might live a life in your presence, God. Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Mm. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Well, hey, as always, we love you. We thank you for tuning in all the way through. Like, comment, subscribe, share this with somebody, and we will see you at Easter. God bless you.